Hello everybody, this is Linda Ross with the Garden Clinic podcast. Last podcast was full of information about camellias, all kinds, fairy wand camellias, sasanquas, japonicas, and my absolute favourites, the reticulatas. They're big, blousy, beautiful girls, the showgirls, the glamour girls of winter, I call them, and I absolutely love them. No winter is quite winter without them. Now, I know a lot of you have been putting your camellia questions on Garden Clinic, so thank you so much. The Facebook page, it's great to see your interaction there and feedback. It's wonderful. So thank you. Keep them coming, everyone. Just go to the Facebook page, The Garden Clinic, and you can upload your questions, upload your photos, and maybe it's an unnamed camellia that you need a name for. Let me know and we'll sort you out. Did you know that the oldest living camellia in Australia dates back to 1831? It's still alive. In a little garden in Camden called Camden Park. It was part of the consignment of plants that arrived in a case on a ship called the Sovereign for Elizabeth MacArthur of Camden Park. And in this collection, this first collection in 1831, was a camellia called Anemonifolia. And it is still growing happily in the gardens of Camden Park. And it's so beautiful, isn't it, that to know that you can go on one of their open days and see it. Her son, William, is said to have produced the first camellia cultivar ever, and it's called Aspasia MacArthur, and it's a stunning white with blotches of pink and really absolutely one of the first hybrids in Australia. In fact, I think my parents bought their house here because it had an Aspasia MacArthur camellia growing in it, nothing to do with the actual house itself. But today, of course, I wanted to talk to Australia's most preeminent camellia expert. Is someone that I go to see every year. It's an annual mission. Every winter I go out for a hot cup of chocolate and a walk around his garden. It is, of course, Ross Campbell from Camellia Grove Nursery. It has a huge history of growing camellias in Australia. The
best garden. Hi there, Graham Ross. Now, you all know I love gardening, and we all know that Sea Sol is just simply fantastic for keeping your garden healthy and looking great. But did you know that Sea Sol helps with root development? This means that Sea Sol treated plants have a greater access to water and nutrients in the soil. This goes for everything in your garden, from your lawn to your roses, even your veggie patch. So don't just water your garden, Sea Sol your garden. Don't forget the
Sea Sol. One of the best nurseries that specialise in camellias has a long history with Sydney, and I know a lot of people will remember childhood spent having dragged around the Camellia Grove Nursery at St Ives, and it is one of the most wonderful Sydney nurseries with a long history. And to tell us more about, well, the nursery and of course growing camellias in Australia and in particular New South Wales, I have Ross Campbell on the line from Camellia Grove. G'day, Ross.
G'day, how are you going?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, look, we always have, well, midwinter, we get together, you and I, and we do workshops on growing camellias in your beautiful nursery, coffee and tea and cake, and the garden there is just unravels itself with these extraordinarily beautiful camellias right through the months of winter. And it really has captured a lot of us. We want to add to our collections with camellias, and of course, you've got such a terrific range. Can you tell us a little bit, let's start at the beginning, a little bit about the history of Camellia Grove in Sydney?
Certainly, yeah. Well, thank you for that introduction about the nursery. Yeah, like you said, a lot of people would have fond memories of the nursery in St Ives. It opened there back in 1939 and was on that site for 65 years. So, you know, an institution, some would say, you know, in that part of Sydney. I can remember when I was a child, you know, like you said, being dragged through the nursery, and it had just magnificent display gardens there. And people could really get a sense of what the camellias can start to look like. And, yeah, like you said, the versatility, the range, the colours, the leaf types, and all those sort of things. So, yeah, we're on in that site for 65 years. We did move coming up 13 and a half years ago now to our current site in Glenorie. So it'll be 80 years next year that the nursery itself has been in existence. So
80 years, and that spanned three generations, hasn't it?
Yeah, so my grandfather became involved in the 60s in the nursery, and I'm third generation. My father took over after that. I moved the nursery back in 2005 to its current site. We've since put a cafe on it last year, it's almost 12 months ago exactly, where we've opened that up, and that's been a great success. And it's set, you know, in amongst the gardens, which are really now coming into their own because we planned a lot of communities when we moved there. So they're really starting to develop, and we're really trying to duplicate the sort of feel that you got from that original nursery in St Ives to the new location in Glenorie. So it's really a great place to come out, have a look at the different communities, the display gardens, and there's a cafe so people can have a coffee and some lunch. And it's really developing into a really great site there. So yeah, we're very, very pleased with how it's going.
And I think that's what's so beautiful, creating that camellia wonderland, midwinter, cold, crisp days, and those incredible displays you have of camellias spread out onto those display tables, where you really get an understanding of the incredible diversity of camellia blossoms. Camellias have an extraordinary history, not only in Australia, but of course throughout the world. Breeders have bred countless superior varieties of camellias over hundreds of years for our gardens, and you have them on display. Everything from the tiniest miniature little Lutuensis hybrid to the big, blousy, huge reticulatas that span the size of dinner plates at the end of the season. Those display tables, I think, are so great to give the customer such a wonderful idea of the range and diversity of colour as well.
Yeah, definitely. I won't take credit for coming up for that. Back in St Ives, that was a feature of the nursery as well, having those display tables. We'd cut the flowers in the morning and, yeah, lay them out, and people can really appreciate, you know, look in one spot, the different colours, the sizes, like you said, the little miniature flowers, and they can really get an appreciation of, you know, what the flower will look like and the size. And then also, when you talk about the versatility, there's just an amazing array of different leaf sizes. You've got the really tiny leaves, big leaves, plus the aspect in which they can grow. Many of them can grow in full sun, other ones are better in shade. So it really is a camellia that you can use in any position. And we've really, you know, talking about mimicking the feeling of the nursery in the new location, we've still got that display table, like you mentioned. And people, you know, we get asked all the time if the flowers are real, because you know, when it's really done nicely, they do look like they're plastic. They look amazing. And it really is a point of difference, because it is a time-consuming thing to do, but it is something unique that we do, that it really helps people, you know, be able to appreciate the different types of camellias, and really helps with their selection when they're looking to buy.
I think also that it just shows how beautiful the camellia blossom is in its individual state, and how lovely it is when you upturn it and float it in a float bowl. Camellias often don't last well in vases. They're often too top heavy. They're so blousy. They've got so many petals shoved into the one flower. It's hard to sort of display them, but on a float bowl situation where you upturn them and you can have them on, you know, Nana's silver platter or a lovely shallow dish in the middle of the dining table, they're just so perfect for that kind of situation.
Exactly. You know, we can cut flowers and certain varieties, you'll get a week in a float bowl, no problems. And, you know, the really great thing, because the camellias do flower from, you know, the Sasanqua starting in sort of February, March, you know, like you said, all the way through the reticulatas in, you know, early spring. So you've got a big chunk of the year, if you pick certain camellias planting in your garden, you're going to have camellia flowers, you know, through a good part of the whole year. So, you know, summertime really is the only time where you won't get anything. But if you plant different types of camellias, your Sasanquas, your Japonicas, your hybrids, your reticulatas, you know, although camellias flower once a year, there is a really long span where, you know, one type of camellia will be in flower. So, you know, with a bit of planning, you can really maximise the amount of flowers you can get.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. What are the basic requirements for growing a good, healthy camellia?
The benefit in pretty much all of the east coast of Australia, Sydney in particular, I mean, you only have to drive around, you know, a lot of the gardens, and camellias are growing everywhere. So the environment to begin with is well suited for camellias. So camellias, in terms of the soil, they like to be grown in a rich, free-draining soil. They certainly don't like to be wet, so they don't like a really clayey, you know, soil that's not draining. And on the flip side, A lot of people have them in, you know, the beaches area, the eastern suburbs of Sydney, where the soil is a bit sandy. So certainly bulking that soil up with, you know, organic material, keeping in mind that camellia is like slightly acidic soil, so cow manure, blood and bone, things like that are really good. So getting that soil nice and rich, able to hold a bit of moisture, is ideal for camellias. You don't want to, you know, be drying them out, particularly in the hotter weather, and on the flip side, during the colder months, if you've got a poor draining soil, that can lead to some fungal problems. But by and large, the soil throughout New South Wales and Queensland and Victoria is ideal for camellias. Then it just comes down to making sure you select a variety that will grow either in the sun or in the shade. And then there's different height requirements. Other ones will grow low or tall. So a lot of people come out and we'll just ask a few simple questions in terms of, you know, the aspect, the height, the colour. We really can narrow it down to say that this is going to be the most suitable for you. So they're the basic requirements in terms of growing.
A lot of times I see people who have planted camellias, they want a quick hedge, they want it in sun, they plant a Sasanqua in clay, and they struggle and they sulk and they go backwards and they defoliate and all that sort of thing. What would you recommend for that kind of problem?
Certainly preparation is key. I mean, people will spend a lot of money on plants and some people aren't willing to spend some time and money on the preparation. So if you have a poor draining soil, certainly, you know, digging a lot of that clay out. I mean, camellias don't need a lot of soil. They're surface rooting, so you don't have to do a massive big excavation. But certainly try to, you know, remove some of that clay, get some clay breaker, gypsum, things like that. And again, organic material will help break that down. So physically removing some of that, getting some good organic material in with clay breakers as well. And then, you know, every year top dressing with cow manures and mulching. Over time, you really can improve the soil. So if you've got a poor soil, you know, sometimes people, they're a little bit lazy. They just get the plants, put them straight in, wonder why they don't do well. And if your soil's not perfect, like with any plant, you may struggle. So doing a bit of that preparation work is definitely a good idea.
Okay, and you say that they're surface rooting. The roots are right very, very close to the surface. Why mulching is so important, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's why they're great around pools and pavers and houses. They don't have an invasive root system. You can have them near pipes and things like that. And they've got a mat of fibrous roots. So, you know, they can do well in planter boxes and narrow garden beds. And over the warmer months when it is hot and dry, good layer of mulch certainly helps not only with keeping weeds away, but, you know, moisture retention, which, you know, we seem to go through very dry periods now through the summer months and the springtime. So having a good layer of mulch, yes, that definitely helps as well.
There's a lot of camellias. I look in gardens around me and 80% of gardens are filled with camellias and azaleas, basically. They are a really true and tried and tested shrub that Sydney gardeners and Melbourne gardeners and right across Australia have really loved. They're sort of stalwarts of the older kind of style of garden. Some of the bigger camellias are struggling at the moment. I'm assuming it's the lack of rain. What should we as gardeners do to help those struggling camellias at the moment?
Yeah, like you said, you go around Sydney and Melbourne and, yeah, gardens that are full of camellias and azaleas, and it's a testament to they do well in that environment. But certainly, especially in Sydney, the last 12 months, I mean, we really, where we are, haven't had good rain for 12 months.
Oh, no, I remember it being last June.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and so the soil is just very deficient of moisture at the moment. And that's not only, you know, an issue for camellias and azaleas, but, you know, you see old trees at the moment that have been there for 50 years and just struggling. So it has been a difficult time, certainly heading into the cooler months. I mean, the benefit is camellias, they don't need a lot of care during the cooler months. They don't need a lot of moisture. But certainly coming out of the winter time into spring, that's when it's time to do something. So if there is any dead or dying wood in the camellias, certainly prune it out, remove it, get a good wetting agent onto the soil, because the soil can go quite hydrophobic during these dry periods. Good layer of mulch like we talked about. And then once it starts to warm up, if we haven't had any rain, hopefully we do, making sure they have a moist sort of root system heading into that warmer period so you can get some nice new growth coming on. But yeah, it's certainly been difficult throughout Sydney and a lot of Australia with the, you know, lack of rainfall. So they will recover, but we really are just waiting to get a good downpour of rain.
The problem with the local lack of rain has been a distinct, like 9 out of 10 gardens, I'd say, would have hydrophobic soil, which means that the soil actually repels the water now because it hasn't rained for so long. So you're absolutely right with the soil wetter. Something like wetter soil or ecohydrate are two organic products that actually break the surface tension of your soil. So it's really important for gardeners to apply that at this time of the year when it absolutely hasn't rained for so long. It's awful to see an old camellia die. They do have this immense property of regenerating itself, which is good to know, but we've really got to get that the soil being more absorbent to the water. I always like just one of those little dripper hoses, 20 buck hose under my camellias, just to constantly give them a little bit of slow absorption water, you know, every week. I think that's really important, and that with the mulch really helps that shallow root system never really get too dry. All right, let's get into the favourite camellias that you have for different situations, Ross. What would your best couple of camellias be for those who have got balconies, terraces and verandas? What are the best camellias for pots?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have a lot of different varieties depending on position. So if you've got a sunny balcony, definitely be looking at Camellia sasanquas. In terms of my favourite or a couple of favourites, there's one called Shishi Kashira, which is a low-growing pink variety, been around forever, but it's really, you know, shrubby in growth, works well in a pot, will take full sun. There's also a red one called Yuletide. That's very popular. Because you don't get a lot of reds in Camellia sasanquas, it's usually pinks and whites. So that's a couple there that are good in pots, but, you know, there certainly are more than, you know, those few. And we have a really good interactive website which people can jump on, and you can put in what you're looking to do with the camellia, whether that be a hedge, a pot plant, an espalier, or whatever it is. Put in the aspect, put in the colour, and the website will actually filter the most suitable variety. So that's an extremely useful tool that people use. And it will tell you, you know, because it can be daunting. We'll do over 100 varieties and people, you know, get a bit overwhelmed and saying, I just don't know which one to pick. And if you jump on the website, put in what you want to use the camellia for, and by the time you filter out all the criteria, you might be left with three choices, and they'll be the ones that will do the best job for you. So when we're talking verandas in shade, definitely Camellia japonica. And again, some of the more, you know, slow to medium growers do well long-term in a pot or a planter.
Yes.
Off the top of my head, Brushfield's Yellow is a really nice creamy coloured one. Buttons and Bows in a soft pink, formal double.
Buttons and Bows is the best one ever. Yep.
Yeah. And then you've also got little hybrid varieties that work. Luchuensis, you mentioned, in a little fragrant white. We'd probably have 30 to 40 that we would recommend for pots. So it's really going to depend on exactly your position and things like that. But the website's a great place to have a look.
And what kind of pot would suit a camellia? A tall, narrow one or a short, squat one?
Definitely a short, squat pot. So being that shallow-rooted, mat of fibrous roots, a lot of the pots now are those tall, skinny ones. They're not really ideal for camellias. Best one would be a shorter, wider pot. So that will give you, you know, much more longevity with the plant in the pot. The tall, skinny ones, they won't fill out the height in terms of the roots, and they really want that width. So definitely be looking at the shorter, squatter pot.
Okay, and in terms of repotting, how often would they need repotting?
Again, it depends on the variety, but those slower varieties, if they've got a nice big pot to begin with, you know, we get people ringing up, they've had a camellia in the same pot for 20 years. You know, not all of them will last that long. It obviously depends on the exact variety, but, you know, you could get away usually if you have a nice big pot and the correct variety, you know, 10 years without having to repot, and then you might have to, you know, dig it up, trim the roots, trim the plant back, and then put it in some fresh potting mix.
What I love about your website is that filtering process, because you are often spoilt for choice. A lot of people I hear just go to Bunnings and just get whatever sasanqua or whatever camellia is on the shelf. And I always cringe at that, because there's such a wide variety of camellias, and some are great in certain situations and awful in others. You know, some are terrific, as you said, as hedges, for example, but others would be better as specimen plants in pots. Some would be great as hedges between neighbours in a full sun position, but others, like japonicas, might just like the morning sun or filtered light, you know, that dappled light that gum trees give. On the hedge front, I know that good hedges make good neighbours and good camellias make good hedges. What would be some of your, you know, tried and true camellias for hedging between sort of neighbourhood boundaries?
We ask a lot of questions when people come in terms of, you know, trying to work out exactly what they're looking for, so we can point them in the right direction, because the last thing we want is to put, you know, for them to put something in the garden and it doesn't do the job that they're looking for. So like you said, it really is important that you do select something that is suitable. And our most common use for camellias would be for hedging, because they make a fantastic hedge. In terms of varieties for those fast-growing hedges, there's been some around for, you know, probably almost the whole time camellia grow has been around. There's one called Setrageca, which is a flowered white. You'll see that around a lot of Sydney. Dark green leaf, fast-growing. You know, the ones that have been around forever and we're still growing, there's a reason for it. They're just good. They're just reliable. So on that front, there's another one called Plantation Pink, fast-growing, very reliable. In a bit of a deeper colour, there's one called Hiryu. Again, that's used a lot for grafting because it's got a really reliable and fast-growing rootstock. So those ones there, there's a variety called Pure Silk, which is a bit newer, probably our most popular variety, mostly white with a blush of pink in it, extremely fast and bushy-growing. So those ones there are very popular, tried and true varieties that we, you know, sell a lot of and people really love.
Yeah, I love that Pure Silk. I think it's an excellent variety. And the other one, Star Above Star, I used it on my 30-metre driveway. It seems to be one of the longest flowering camellias. It flowers from pretty much spotting in April, and then it really does flower right through winter and then even early into spring. And that one is Star Above Star. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, still very popular. And like you said, it's probably the longest flowering camellia we grow. It's not unusual to get 5 or 6 months of flowers out of that variety. A little bit slower growing than some of the other varieties we mentioned, but again, excellent for hedging. And if you're looking for that long-term flowering, you know, it's very hard to beat something that flowers for almost half of the year, that's for sure.
It sure is. All right, fertilising. What are the fertilising requirements for camellias?
So the main time that you want to get fertiliser on camellias is coming out of winter. So flowering's just about done, then we're about to hit the growth cycle in spring. So around August, September is certainly when you want to be looking to get some fertiliser on camellias. We love using slow-release fertilisers because you can put them on, forget about it, and then just follow up again, depending on the release pattern, you know, either 3 or 6 months later. So certainly springtime, getting a good quality slow-release fertiliser on there. You can put it on, forget about it. You can use some liquid as well to try to boost them along a bit more quickly, but the slow-release is definitely a good idea. Yeah, springtime is the main time. And again, like I said, wait till the release pattern finishes on that, whether it be 3 or 6 months, reapply. They don't need a lot during the cooler months, say, at the moment, but it's really not going to do anything. So that sort of spring, summer, then even into autumn, you could re-fertilise then, use some organic material as well, cow manure, compost, a bit of top dressing. That's really what you want to be doing.
All right. A lot of times we hear that they're acid lovers, which of course means that they like a more acid soil, and we should be looking at fertilisers that are specialised for camellia?
Yeah, I mean, camellias, again, most of Sydney soils, unless they've been, you know, changed, are pretty much acidic. So ideally between 5.5 and 6.5 is the pH that camellias really enjoy. Yes, there are specific fertilisers for camellias and azaleas. And they are, you know, have been blended for, you know, the acid-loving side of plants. So certainly using a specific fertiliser like that is a good idea.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Now, let's just end with the pests and diseases that camellias might get. They are incredibly resilient shrubs, I have to say. They usually don't get too much. But the odd time, particularly in dry weather, you'll get the camellia mite. Can you just run us through some of the common complaints with camellias?
You've just probably hit the nail on the head there in terms of that. That would be on a Camellia japonica, the most common issue, and particularly when plants are a bit stressed out and it's hot and dry, you'll see a sort of reddish-brown mark down the rib or the middle of the leaf, and that's almost certainly mite damage. If you're getting a brownish sort of mark on the outside, that's probably more to do with heat or burn, but that would be the most common issue on a Camellia japonica. Doesn't hurt the plant as such. Coming out of, again, winter into spring, some of the damaged leaves will just fall away and you'll get new growth coming through. Things like eco oil are good to spray to mite in the cool of the day, trying to get over the top of the foliage because that's where the mites will be found, and then following up again. So a spray like the eco oil will definitely take control of the mite, but it does look a little unsightly, but it won't affect the flowering and the plant really will just keep on powering through it. But again, something like the eco oil can be beneficial. In terms of anything else, I mean, Camellia sasanquas are incredibly hardy. Like any plant in spring, keeping an eye on aphids and things like that. Apart from that, as long as they've got, you know, a good soil, regular moisture, have that regular fertilising, there's not much else that goes on with them.
Do you recommend maybe an annual dose of anti-rot just to prevent root rot fungus?
Certainly, if you have a poor draining soil or it has been an incredibly, and it's usually during the colder months, and during the winter months, if we get a really wet season, they're not using the water, they're not transpiring it out of the soil, you can certainly get fungal problems. So, yeah, I mean, in those sort of situations, yeah, every 12 months you could apply a good systemic fungicide, you know, to stop chance of anything like that happening. In the sort of drier and sunnier positions, you could do it there too, but it's probably not really required.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Ross. You are our veritable encyclopedia of camellia information. I always love heading down to your nursery every winter and having a nice coffee and just wandering around the gardens. Camellias leave these wonderful circles of fallen flowers midwinter, which I absolutely love. And just to end on, what would your favourite camellia of all time be?
Oh, you put me on the spot there. There's so many. What would I be thinking at the moment? Well, in terms of Camellia sasanqua, I mentioned it before. It's simple, but plantation pink. Yeah, keep going back to it in terms of a good hedging variety and a good, you know, reliable plant. So I'd probably say that for a hedge. In terms of Camellia japonica, there's a variety called Lovelight, which is a big white flower.
I've got that.
And it's a simple-ish flower because you get really formal ones, but it's one that is always in my top five varieties, so I'd have to stick with that one.
Well, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today, Ross.
Not a problem at all. Thank you for having me.
Speak soon.
Sounds good. Bye.
So that was Ross Campbell from Camellia Grove. You'll find his nursery at 8 Cateye Ridge Road, Glenorie, or just jump online, cameliagrove.com. It's a wonderful resource if you're choosing a camellia, trust me. Thanks so much for listening to the Garden Clinic podcasts. Please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It really helps to spread the word that this is a brand new podcast and tell all your friends about it. I'd really appreciate it. Of course, if you've got a gardening question for me, just hop on to the Garden Clinic Facebook page. I'm often on there answering queries all the time, and I'd love to hear from you to see how your garden's growing. And of course, what are your favourite camellias as well? Jump on the Garden Clinic Facebook page and tell me all about it. And at this time of the year, you could post a photo of your favourite camellias. I'd love to see. It's been a pleasure having you with me today. Lovely to have your company. It's Linda Ross with the Garden Clinic. Have a great day gardening and go safely.
The best garden in the street. G'day, Graham Ross here. Now, you all know I love my gardening, and we all know that Sea Sol is simply fantastic for keeping your garden healthy and looking great. But did you know that Sea Sol reduces transplant shock and dramatically increases the plant's survival rate when they're newly planted? Now, look, it's like an insurance policy for your plants. So when you're planting out your seedlings and new plants in your garden, don't just water them in, Sea Sol your plants.
Don't forget the Sea Sol.